Welcome to Decades From Home, a podcast about Germany. I'm an accountant at 40%German.com and I'm joined by our award-winning producer, Simon Josie, to discuss the weird and wonderful side of living in Germany. Hey, Simon.
Hey, Nick, do you think we should drop the award-winning? It sounds a bit pretentious.
I think I'm going to keep it in because now it just annoys you.
So. It starts to annoy me a little bit, yeah.
First and foremost, though, Happy New Year, mate.
And to you too.
It's going to be an exciting one, I suspect. Not just for us, but perhaps for our listeners. I don't know about you, though, Simon. It does feel like we're kind of missing some of the names off of that intro. I know we're supposed to start the new year with a bit of a tidy up, but this is ridiculous. Do you know where Kat and Dilly are?
Not here.
Well, as we definitively decided, I think, in the last couple of episodes, that Kat did not eat Dilly. That wasn't the replacement phase. But there is some announcements to be made this week. The truth is, it's no easy thing to record this podcast. And both Dilly and Kat have worked really, really hard helping produce the show and come up with stories. What's more, they've done all of that work for free and taken time out of their busy lives to do so. Of course, things change and the demands on our time are not always easy to manage. So both Dilly and Kat sadly have decided to take a step back from the show. Although I'm very sure you'll hear from both of them fairly soon in the future, I do want to just extend mine and producer Simon's, and I'm sure yours as well, dear listener, gratitude for all the work over the last year or so. They've been stalwart. They've been fantastic. They've been real support for it was about 100 episodes. Thanks to both of them. And yeah, it's sad that we're going to be without Kat and Dilly for the near future, but that does rather lead to a bit of a problem. We do need a third host. Those occasional episodes where it's just you and me, Simon, are fun enough, but how long before we turn feral and start fact-checking each other to death, Simon, or worse, chewing the mics until their sound quality drops below acceptable podcast standards? Luckily for us, though, we know just the person. Returning to the show after a 2-year break of his own, it's none other than former co-host and co-founder of Decades From Home, Simon Maddox! Hooray! Happy New Year! What a great way to start 2025.
Hello, everyone.
Many of you may remember Simon from the first 100 episodes. He left the show after we reached episode 100, and we've been trying to work out what actually his last episode was. I think it was like 106. But after a rest from those exertions over those 100 episodes, he's back with us, reuniting the pandemic podcast dream team. Although this time, let's not have any lockdowns. So welcome back, Simon. No, other Simon. Producer Simon. Oh God, this is going to be difficult. It's going to give me a headache. Anyway, welcome back, Simon. How are you doing, mate?
Yeah, nice one. Thank you. I'm really happy to be back. But yeah, I think we've already stumbled across the first big issue with my return, is that now Simon, Producer Simon, is a voice on the podcast, and he wasn't when I left. And so now we have Simon and Simon, which is, yeah, a recipe for disaster, surely. So yeah, we'll work out how to do that. So it might just be that Maddox might be the way of like getting me to get an answer. Otherwise, me and Simon are just going to be staring at each other, wondering which Simon that was. Or we have some sort of lilting version of saying shed or shit to try and get an answer out about our favorite types of wood panel housings for the garden.
I didn't realize, Maddox, that you were from New Zealand. That was a fantastic bit of New Zealand accent work there.
Shout out to Rose Matafeo. She's the only reason I can say shit, like a real Kiwi.
You've been watching all that Taskmaster, is that
indeed, indeed, yeah.
It's the only way to go. Yeah, I guess there's a lot of questions I'm sure all listeners have, but you're not here to answer all 1,000. But yeah, tell us a bit about what's been going on with you over the last few months, maybe.
I mean, yeah, it's been a long time since I was on the mic. And yeah, this is still the original Decades From Home microphone that's been dusted off and reattached to my working desk. So hopefully it sounds all right. I'm sure Simon will see to it that it sounds as excellent as ever. We aren't entirely sure when my last episode was. If it was 106, then that's like 2 years, pretty much since I was last here. Mm-hmm. It's been a very, very long time. And yeah, it's been a bit of a calm time in life, mm-hmm. I guess. I mean, I stepped away from the podcast because it had all gotten a little bit too much. And yeah, I had to like restart my career after COVID. And so that was a bit of a journey. But I'm now happy to say that I am paying a hefty sum to the Finanzamt. So things have moved in the right direction there. And it's been a good year this year because my wife was lucky enough to be able to have a sabbatical this summer. And so we were able to, well, she had 4.5 months off and I was able to like scale down my schedule to sort of fit around that a little bit. And so we just got to like potter around locally, do little road trips in beautiful Bayern and do lots of nice things in the garden. It's been a really nice summer. And yeah, it feels like when I got the message that there was the idea of maybe me returning, I thought about it before. I didn't think I would be so keen. But when I got the message, I was like, yeah, I really want to do that. So here I am a month later. Like, yeah, feels good.
You just answered the call.
Mm, like Batman.
Yeah, exactly. We put out the Maddox beam.
Yeah.
And you came swooping in. But yeah, I mean, you've clearly had a good few months, a nice relaxing few months. The idea of a sabbatical sounds lush.
Mm.
Yeah, I wonder if the university does sabbaticals. Probably not for me. Do you want to know the most depressing thing I saw today?
Go on.
Right, get this, right? So, before Christmas, I received an email from a member of one of the societies at the university, and it read sort of something along the lines of, we're contacting you because we've sent out a survey to all the students and a number of them have responded that they would really like to nominate you to do a DJ set at a club night that they have for all the students returning after the Christmas break. And they do this. It's called the Night of the Professors. Now, anyone who knows me knows I don't have any titles. I do have a master's, but I'm not that kind of bellend who insists everyone put letters at the end of their name. But they released the posters for this event. And it's slightly depressing reading given the fact that I don't have a title, because the poster reads, the first person is a doctor, the next person is a doctor, and then it's Professor Doctor, and then it just says Nick Houghton. I'm like, I've been done proper dirty on that front. I have no idea what I'm going to play. It's on Thursday, so I'm getting a bit worried. But I've basically been kind of low-key insulted by the poster promoting a DJ set.
I think there are two ways you can take this on, and I'll lay both options out. I think the first and the one I would like to see you do the most is get yourself onto the internet and order yourself a Daft Punk helmet. I know you're a fan, and I think you should do a one-man Daft Punk set, just playing Daft Punk hits the whole time. I think that would be €50 well spent, and you would be a legend. Option two is you just play really boring Smith songs, just like melancholy them to death.
Heaven knows I'm miserable now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Just Morrissey them until they can't take anymore.
Cemetery gates. That's quite a jazzy one, actually. No, I thought really carefully because I was like, well, I don't want to do a DJ set that no one fucking dances to because that'll be bloody depressing. But I also wanted to do one that I knew would be music that people won't hear that much. And I've only got 30 minutes to do it. Do you want to hear what I've chosen?
Go on then.
Okay. There's 10 songs. And we start with Love Will Tear Us Apart by Joy Division.
So you're starting with Melancholy. I like it. Okay, good.
I mean, Love Will Tear Us Apart is a jam though. Age of Consent by New Order, which is also a jam. then we move into a little bit more modern music. We've got Dance With Me by Dizzy Rascal and Calvin Harris.
Okay.
And then this is the moment where I think the floor gets filled and everyone starts losing their shit. Alles Neu by Peter Fox. Got to have a German in there. It's a fucking classic. And then, do you remember last year, those Irish kids that produced that banging?
Yeah, that drum and bass banger.
The Spark by Cabin Crew is after that. Then we've got Molotov by Seed. This is a song that I know Simon will like because he was the one who put me onto this band. Hurts by Amel and the Sniffers.
Oh, that's a change of direction there.
Oh, but it's exactly the right sort of, it's got the same aggression as Molotov. And then we've got a song called Napoleon by Soho Barney. A La Rava by Whitey on Vogue. And then to finish off, to cap it all, Dancing on My Own by Robin.
Okay.
I think it's a solid selection of music. The Napoleon a la Rave a bit, I'm a bit concerned about. But
The one note I made is, as a university lecturer, do you want to play a song called Age of Consent to your students?
Do you know the song I really, really wanted to play, which is a true to God, honest, fantastic, banging tune, is by Charlie XCX.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a tune that she's done with Billie Eilish.
Okay.
And it's called Guess. And it's a banging tune. But as soon as you hear the lyrics, you're like, definitely can't play that to a room full of students. Because it's essentially low-key pornography. But it's such a good tune. But I was like, oh, I'm going to have to veto that, sadly. I did have a lot of Sam Fender in there, but it just doesn't work. It just does not work. So the Geordie connection isn't going to be there. But yeah, that's going to be my Thursday night. It's going to be quite exciting.
Well, I'm sure the doctor professors will be slamming out some like Bach and Delius. So I think you're going to have groove points all over the place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, do you want time I get to go on? What time do you think they're going to make me play?
2:45 p.m.
No. No, it's 1 a.m. in the morning. Is 1 a.m. 1 till 1:30.
What day of the week is this?
Thursday.
It's a Thursday night at 1 a.m. you're DJing.
And I was just like, this is what happens when you get to this. This is my level of professionalism. I'm going to drive there. I'm not going to drink. And then I'm just going to drive home and go to bed.
Are you getting paid for this?
No. That's the worst of it. I don't even get paid for this. They've said to us, bring all your music on a USB drive, which means I've got to buy all of these songs, right? We'll see. And then they were like, you need to bring some headphones. And I was like, oh yeah, I'll just bring my DJ headphones that I have knocking around the place. Yeah, sure, whatever. It's dead easy, right?
It could be worse. They could have expected you to turn up with everything on vinyl.
Oh, imagine though. Imagine the scratching. It could have happened. But yeah, so that's been mostly what I've been obsessing about over the Christmas period, the ultimate terror of it all. But yeah, obviously we had New Year just gone. New Year was pretty drunken in my household. I don't know about you guys, but yeah, how was your New Year festivities? See, okay, yeah. Maddox, yeah. What were your New Year's festivities? Yeah.
So New Year's was nice. We did the same as we did last year. Went over to our friend Sturge's place, and I think there were like 8 of us. We had raclette. I have to say the best raclette I've ever had in my life. It was a bonanza of really lovely treaties. Yeah, I'm not allowed to eat like red meat anymore. That's one of the big changes in the last year or so. So I've done like 14 months with no alcohol, no red meat. A lot of goodies like anchovies I can't have anymore. I miss anchovies on my pizza very much. But yeah, they were very kind and put on a really good selection of gout-friendly foods, which I've definitely appreciated. But yeah, my second sober New Year's. And yeah, it was nice. It was good. And waking up on New Year's Day without a hangover is something that I'm starting to really enjoy. Not missing alcohol. But yeah, some people, when they're really pissed, you do realize, okay, I like this person a lot. They mean a lot to me. But there comes a point in the evening where it's like, this is my tipping point. I've had enough of your shit now.
Yeah, I can understand that. Yeah, I felt like actually on New Year's Day, I was like, oh, just don't ever want to drink. I think that's the last bit of booze I had. I'm being careful because producer Simon's very litigious about how much alcohol I drink. He's very careful to note whether
Also, when you make statements like that, that's the last drink I'm ever going to have. You know I'm going to come back at you on that one.
I said it's the last drink I've had, not that I will. See, you just put words in my mouth. I mean, geez. But yeah, so it was nice. What about you, producer Simon? How was your New Year? Cakes, only cakes.
No, well, actually, I haven't had any cake since the 1st of January, which is probably a good thing. So I've got two options here. Either I could lie and appear to be quite cool, or I could just be truthful, and I tend to think I should be truthful because it'll just come back at me if I lie. So actually on the 30th, I had to drive a son to Vienna, and I drove back the next day on the 31st. And yeah. Simon, you'll be wondering why I didn't pop in. It was because during the winter, there's only just barely enough light to drive from Vienna to Bonn nonstop, more or less, in the daylight hours. And I really didn't want to drive at night if I could avoid it. So please don't be offended by me not popping in this time. But having driven to Vienna on the Monday and then driven all the way back to Bonn on the Tuesday, I was in bed asleep by 11 o'clock on New Year's Eve. So come at me, basically.
I don't want to. It sounds like you've done like a real service. You know, you've really done a tough job. I wouldn't. I think I could drive. I could drive that. Is it 6 hours?
Shit, no. It's over 9 hours constantly driving. So with stops and stuff. Yeah.
Fucking hell. It's about 6 hours from Nuremberg, though, right? To Vienna.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, thereabouts. Yeah.
And that's a nice drive, actually, between Nuremberg and Vienna. That's a really pretty drive. Coming back this way, it's a bit flat and boring.
Mm.
But it sounds like you've had quite a busy schedule. I'm not sure how much party was left in you on the 31st by the time you got back. But yeah, none at all. One other thing that I think is worth mentioning is we had another round of our annual Let's All Blow Ourselves Up with Fireworks that we always have at Sylvester. There was 5 incidents, I think, across the country of people being killed by fireworks. And if I'm right, and my memory serves me correctly, that those were incidents of people handling fireworks poorly. But I had my own fireworks terror that I wasn't quite prepared for. We bought a lot of rockets, and I was sort of against it, but I had family over and they were very excited by the idea of seeing fireworks just on a table, not hidden in a metal case with like 16 security guards protecting them, just there. And they were like, we could just pick them up. So yeah, you can. You could fucking light one if you want. So my British family bundled all these fireworks together, got very excited, went outside. This is, I think, is a fucking scandal. The fireworks themselves, the touch paper that you were meant to light, didn't light properly, which meant that there was a lot of uncertainty. And then we got one lit and it starts to fizzle. And as literally as the flame hits the firework fell off the stick.
Oh. Where did you get these fireworks?
Raver.
Raver?
Oh. Yeah.
They're not Best of All.
Yeah, not some hooky dealership. It was like, or like some pop-up shop. It was the supermarket that I go to every week. And the firework landed and directly facing all of us. And yeah, no. And the first thing, this probably says everything about my relationships. The first thing I did was just grab my daughter, just pick her up. It's like, get her out the firing line, and left my wife just standing. Yeah. And then we'd like, it was horrible, and like there could have been serious injuries, and that didn't happen once, it happened twice, and eventually we just stopped it. It was so dangerous, but I couldn't believe it. It was terrifying, like all the nightmares you have about fireworks happening right in front of you.
I mean, there's a part of me that wonders if this is Raver's tactic to stop fireworks in Germany, to only sell really dangerous ones that are just off-putting. And if that is their tactic, I'm here for it. I think it's good.
I'm definitely never buying a bloody firework from at all, ever. I think I'm done with that as a concept. I kind of like being alive. It's quite fun. I like staying that way.
We had sparklers at our event. That was as far as we went in the pyrotechnics. And that was lovely. No one got burnt.
I've got a very good friend who, when I messaged them about I think they asked it, do you like fireworks? And I was like, yeah, I'm doing all right. I'm not a big fan. Certainly that was before the incident. And I said, oh, do you like fireworks? And they were like, what I like is an organized firework display that's been paid for with my taxes. And I was like, yeah, that's exactly what we need.
I think that's one of the challenges for British people is coming from a 5th of November culture, where like every town, every community has a well-run fireworks event where nobody dies, nobody gets burnt. It's just better. Everything about it is high quality. And it's an opportunity for local food vendors and drink sellers to sell their wares, make a profit, a warm cider, some sausages, whatever. But Germany's just like allowing this sort of FDP-style freedom of like firing fireworks from your Porsche whilst you tear through a small suburb. It's just... I don't get it, but
it's a little unconscionable. But I mean, there's a story that I read last week. Actually, no, it was sort of Monday. I think there was an influencer in Berlin who was apparently firing rockets into people's windows, and there's video footage of it. And they essentially tried to escape the country and were caught at the airport and brought back. And I've seen a few videos online of people doing absolutely stupid things with fireworks. And it just seems a bizarre like discrepancy in what seems like quite a sensible country.
Yeah, the first like New Year's Eve party I went to here in Germany with my wife, it was at a friend's place and they lived on the top floor and had a little balcony. And my wife's friend's brother started launching fireworks from his teeth.
Oh, and, God.
Like all, and then all his boys were like, got to do that as well. So there's just like five lads like, just firing fireworks from their faces. And I don't know. It did nothing for me apart from thinking, yeah, I don't want to hang with these lunatics. Mm. No, it's a very weird form of machismo.
Oh. Biggest issue for us is the dog doesn't like them. But actually, this year wasn't too bad. What about your situation there, Simon?
Yeah, like our cats absolutely hate it, and yeah. We're 100 meters from a Naturschutzgebiet, so like a wildlife preservation area, and neighbors who are literally a stone's throw away from signs saying like Naturschutzgebiet are firing fireworks. And I think that there has to be some sort of way that animals in the wild and pets at home can get some sort of protection. Someone put onto Reddit in the Nuremberg thread, but like, where's the best place to get away from the fireworks? And the resounding answer that everyone gave was the airport hotel. So the windows are really good because of the planes, and the noise cancelling is also excellent. And so that's the place to go. The other thing that I thought was a very good idea was to go to a hotel at a Raststätte. So like one of those motorway hotels, because there's no one that lives near them. And so there shouldn't be any more foreign fireworks. So Simon, next year, if the dog is feeling edgy, then you can go to a nice little motorway side hotel. But you're asleep at 11, so you were fine anyway.
On the last episode, we looked through some of the exciting things that happened in 2024, and I thought it's a nice accompaniment to this first podcast of 2025. We might look forward to what might be happening or will be happening in the year ahead. And I did some quick research. It's quite a lot of stuff happening in Germany in 2025. Top of the list, this month, on the 18th of January, Chemnitz opens their year as the European Capital of Culture with full programs all day. And the city in Saxony is planning over 1,000 events in 2025. I can't say Chemnitz is top of the list of places I've wanted to visit, although looking at images of it, it does look like quite a pretty place. But this might be the perfect chance to sample a bit of the east of Germany for some cultural reasons, at least. I asked my wife why it was that the European Capital of Culture had been given to Chemnitz, and she mentioned something about wooden Christmas decorations being made there, but I'm not sure if that's true. can't all be wooden Christmas decorations.
It's like the whole of southern Germany as well.
Yeah, exactly. Why not Bavaria? Then we get to February, and February is going to be a very busy month for everyone concerned. We have the 75th Berlin International Film Festival, is one of the largest film festivals in the world, and it will be starting on the 13th and continuing until the 23rd of February. We also have something that I think is worth pointing out is there's a big digital change in February the 15th, when the new electronic patient file, the EPA or EPA, is going to be launched nationwide across Germany. And this means that insured persons can basically say that they don't want their medical data to be centrally stored. And there's going to be a test phase planned in Hamburg, North Rhine-Westphalia, and Simon, for you, Franconia.
We're thrilled. We're really looking forward to this grand event. I just had to jostle with my Krankenkasse because they put in a new update, which involved me having to do proof of identity, which you can do either by going to your local post office and submitting your paperwork, or using, in digital Germany, the PostIdent app, which is a very exciting way of proving who you are, with a load of paperwork that you've definitely forgotten where you've put it. But I was able to find my PIN number and get myself sorted. So yeah, I've got my PIN and I'm ready for this. And the EPA, I'm ready for a whole new wave of very high level digital healthcare. It's a brave new dawn.
I think it's one of those things that Germany really needs is some kind of collection of medical data. It's something that the NHS does in the UK really effectively, where you can go to any hospital or clinic and it'll be able to access your medical files and your medical history. I don't necessarily think it's a negative, but obviously Germany does have issues with the Datenschutz, fears about data collection. So we'll see how the test phases go at least. I'm looking forward to some on the ground reporting from you.
There'll be hot takes all over the place. I'm booking myself in for every clinic possible. Yeah. I'm going to go and see my kidney doctor. I'm going to go and see my house arts. I might even see my cardiologist, see if I can get in there.
Not bad. Get it in. Fill your boots. Get all the medical professionals. Mm. And then, of course, the big event in February is on the 23rd when the federal elections begin. And obviously everything's building towards that. We've tried to keep it politics light for the last couple of sessions, but we'll see how it goes. Probably going to be a disaster for the governing coalition, or at least for the SPD. We will see. There is potential that there's going to be other elections rolled into it. I found that quite interesting. There's some regional elections that might be rolled into the election on the 23rd. But again, we will probably see the results, or at least talk about the results if and when they come out. Then we move into sort of March. There is, again, the Hamburg elections, just sort of not a lot happening in March. What is happening in March, though, it's really important, is on the 12th, one, Jordi Sam Fender is playing in Munich, and by God, I've got tickets. It's going to go pretty well for me. So if you want to know what I'm doing in March, it's that, and St. Patrick's Day. May 1st, a big thing, another data point, only electronic images are going to be available for German identity cards. And also double names for both spouses are permitted in Germany from May as well. So that's something that we talked about last year that's going to be kicking off. There is, I think this is more for producer Simon, he's a big fan of women's football, but in July, the Women's European Football Championships kicks off. So geht's los, I guess, Deutschland, and come on England. They'll be my two teams. And Australia in the European Championships.
They're in the Eurovision Song Contest, but funnily enough, not in the Euros.
I know, I was like, I'm surprised. Why didn't they get in? Maybe next time. Then we sort of hit autumn. There's going to be the NFL coming to Germany. They're going to be playing in Berlin for three regular season games. And the first game is going to be played at the Olympic Stadion. So that should be fun for those people who enjoy a bit of NFL. Then, on the 3rd of October, Deutsche Einheit, but it's 35 years of German reunification. So I'm expecting some sensible fireworks or something. It's going to be really low-key, isn't it? They're going to celebrate it like it was a run-of-the-mill event. But I don't imagine there'll be a lot of big partying going on, because there never really is on the 3rd of October, which is actually quite a nice thing.
I notice in your notes as well that it says the unification celebrations will be organized by Saarbrücken. And Saarbrücken's a long way away from Berlin.
It's basically France.
It basically is, isn't it? So I'm expecting some tricolour fireworks snuck in there. The sneaky Saarbrückener. I don't know if that's what their name is, but watch out for that.
Emmanuel Macron's there with his like a fake mustache.
Lederhosen. We are here to celebrate unification.
It is so good. And we round out the year on the 26th of November with the Women's Handball World Championships in Germany and the Netherlands. So that should be a big one for everyone concerned. Lots of sport, lots of lovely things happening. Hopefully some positive news stories, because by God, 2024 was a bit of a bin fire.
And just one thing, noticing your notes again. Sorry, I'm
reading this like it's the first time for me.
Yeah, there's a spelling mistake. No, there's not. The Handball World Championships, the cities you've listed here, Stuttgart, okay, big city, Dortmund, yeah, okay, and beautiful Trier. So you have to think that if you are coming to the World Championships, go to Trier.
Yes.
This is significantly more beautiful than Dortmund.
Definitely.
An absolute a jewel of an ancient town. History and handball all in one weekend. What more could you want for?
It's kind of ridiculous how attractive it is.
Isn't it like the oldest city in Germany?
Mm? I think it is.
I think it is, isn't it? Like from AD 3 or something. Or 3 AD, as we usually say. Stop Googling, the both of you. Stop it.
Yeah, I was just checking.
The question is Trier älter als Rome? And yes, it is. So yes, it's older than Rome. But also, lots of things are older than Rome. I don't know what you want me to say to that.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know, the University of Oxford is older than the Aztec Empire. So
yeah.
Things are just old.
Before we finish today, I wanted to pick out one article that gives us a sense of what Germany in 2025 has in store for us. Sure, we know what all the events are, but yeah, it might be nice to get some kind of vision of the future. And so scouring through the news, I found one story that might give us a certain sense of direction. Somehow this one story spoke to me above all the others, like it was speaking directly into the soul of Deutschland. Apparently every year across the country, Germans exchange millions of old Deutschmarks for euros at the Bundesbank. 53 million Deutschmarks exchanged, reads the headline from Tagesschau, which discovered that despite Germany having the euro for more than 20 years, people are still exchanging Deutschmarks worth millions. Last year, the equivalent of more than 27 million euros was handed over, according to the Bundesbank. Again, according to the Bundesbank, last year, it was a good 53 million Deutschmarks worth, around, as I said, 27.2 million. That was less than in 2023, when the total was a good 58 million Deutschmarks. Where are they finding these Deutschmarks? The Bundesbank counted 98,165 exchange transactions in 2024. Customers submitted 542 Deutschmarks on average. Like, where have they found this stuff? The most common exchange were the 100 Deutschmark notes. There was 121,000 of those, and the one Pfennig coin, which there was 12,600 of those. And the bank believes that almost 163 million Deutschmark notes and more than 23 billion Deutschmark coins have not yet been returned. So, question, which one of you is sleeping on a mattress stuffed with old currency? Clearly, this is what it is. I'm looking at you, producer Simon. Is your mattress lumpy?
I actually have quite a collection of odd currency. Like, I've got quite a few old, well, at least I used to have a whole lot of Filipino pesos that have actually also expired, but I don't think I've got any Deutschmarks.
I'm amazed that they're taking the coins still.
That's what I thought, actually, yeah.
Like, the notes I can understand, but the fact that they accepted 126 Deutschmarks worth of penny pieces is bizarre. Like, surely those should get melted down instead of, I don't know. But credit to the old school allowances of the government. I said 20 years and they're still letting people convert it. And obviously there are a lot of people who will have a relative that passes and they will find money stashed around the house, and I assume that's the majority of this. But yeah, not having any old German relatives of my own, I haven't found any stashed Deutschmarks anywhere yet. We'll see what happens in the next 20 years with my wife's family. Maybe we'll find a load of Deutschmarks there. I have to ration them out amongst the squad.
My thought is this people emptying grandparents' homes and they've just been storing up all of their currency? Absent-minded Deutschmark collection. Don't know. So in total, that's almost 12.2 billion Deutschmarks, about 6.24 billion euros still out there in the world. However, some of the old notes and coins will probably never be found again. Apparently, the Deutschmark was an internationally common currency that was also used outside of Germany, and therefore it is quite likely that there are large amounts of Deutschmarks just flitting around the globe for us to hunt. I'm feeling like this might be some kind of national treasure Germany edition. Maybe we can get Nick Cage to come help us out and we can find all the Deutschmarks hidden around the world. I was thinking which country might have the most Deutschmarks amongst it. My two choices are Argentina and Brazil, but for potentially obvious reasons, they have massive German populations. But I don't know. I mean, they could be anywhere, I suppose.
No, it's those two countries. It's like it's where the Nazis fled. I think the average of, what, 542 was what we had in the article. It's going to be a lot higher there. There's going to be some suitcases hastily stuffed with Deutschmarks under Argentinian beds.
That's the only way to do it. Hastily stuff your suitcases with money.
That is grandfather's bag. We do not open grandfather's bag.
We don't look in grandfather's cupboards.
Why is there an eagle on it? Don't look at the eagle.
Don't look at it. Oh, grim. So anyone who finds old banknotes or coins can exchange them free of charge at any of the 31 Bundesbank branches or by post to the Bundesbank branch in Mainz. So if you happen to come across one of those heavily stuffed suitcases that seem to be knocking around the country, or you go on a leisurely trip to Brazil and find one on the beach in Rio, You can bring it back and tell the Bundesbank about it. There is, in fact, no deadline for exchange. You can exchange it at any time, forever.
The other thing you can do, instead of boring going to the bank and changing it, you can actually go to your local branch of CNA, because they still accept Deutschmarks.
Really?
Yeah, there's a weird part of their system where there is literally a button they press, because they set up their computing systems at the time of the Deutschmark, and it was just all just stayed in there. So there's a button they press on the cashier, and not every branch will do it anymore. But even on the Sparkasse website, with the same guidance that you've just read out there, it even says there, or you can also go to CNA and many branches will accept it. So yeah, you can still literally go shopping with Deutschmarks today. So Argentinian treasure hunters, if you want a load of very reasonably priced, low cotton spec shirts to take back with you, CNA has you covered.
That brings us to the end of the show. Happy New Year, listeners. I hope you're looking forward to 2025 as much as we are. If you're enjoying the podcast, why not give us a rating on Apple Podcasts, which only takes a minute and can really help us. You can also rate us on Spotify, so chuck some stars our way there as well. Retweet us, share a link, or post with the hashtag #DecadesForHome, all lowercase, on Twitter. As ever, if you have any questions, feedback, or maybe an article or topic you'd like us to cover, you can tweet Nick at 40% German, or apparently you can skeet, and we've been debating this. I'm not entirely sure this is a real word. Producer Simon assures me that skeet is a real thing, but you can skeet us on Blue Sky, hopefully by the end of the week. The aim will be to have set up a Blue Sky account. I know we've been promising you listeners, but I swear it was just the Christmas break that put us off, but we'll be setting one up there so you can contact us on another platform. And of course, we also have the Instagram account at Decades From Home. And you can also get us on decadesfromhome@gmail.com. If you have time, take a look at 40%german.com, where weekly articles are up every Saturday. All that's left to say is thanks, and bis zum nächsten Mal. Tschüss!
Tschüss.